Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the section of the Bible we call the Minor Prophets and the book of Hosea. Hosea is going to be the very first of the Minor Prophets. So if you find towards the middle and you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, we're going to find the book of Hosea right after Daniel. So notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Hosea. We're going to go walk through this wonderful book, and this book does a couple different things. First of all, it shows us God's great heart. God's great heart, that God loves his folks. We're going to be able to see here, and in addition, because God loves folks, we're also going to see a principle, and the whole title of the entire series, A Door of Hope, with the idea that no matter how far people go, there's always hope. There's always a door of hope. And we're going to explain it through this passage here. And this is going to be a great encouragement because we all know someone who's gone too far. And we're praying that they don't go any further. And we want to see God's great love towards them and towards us. We start off with the book of Hosea and Hosea in chapter number 1. Hosea in chapter number 1, and if you wouldn't mind, notice with me starting at verse 1. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to unto Hosea, the son of Barai, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go unto thee and take a wife of whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it came to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which shall not be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place that is said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they will come up out of the land, for a great day shall be the day of Jezreel. And with this here, we want to be introduced to Hosea's family. And we want to see God's message through Hosea. God's message through Hosea. Here we could see that the prophet Hosea is declaring a message from the Lord. In fact, his whole entire life is going to be used as a message. Now, if we just see this as a message to an individual, we're going to miss out on the great message that God has for his people. If you remember that there is a people of God, that God called out Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees and called him unto himself to make himself a people. Abraham had a son of promise by the name of Isaac. Isaac had a son of promise promise by the name of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and from these 12 sons, they divided out to become the tribes of Israel. God allowed these people to go into Egypt, and there they multiplied from 70 people to 2.5 million people. Where God, through a great miracle, through his mighty arm and strong hand, brought the people out of Egypt unto himself to make for himself a people. They wandered for 40 years for the purpose of learning that God is a God who supplies, a God of miracles, a God that will work, and then brought them into the land where they would have to live by faith and live from victory to victory to victory, all for the purpose that he wanted to draw them to himself and be their God and be close to them. After a while, the people stopped looking for God, and they started looking for answers in the world, in themselves, and idols. And because of this, they went through a cycle in the book of Judges where they would be put under bondage. They would cry out for help. God would send a deliverer. And then after they would deliver, they would get to the place of being complacent. And from this area of complacency, they would forget God and start looking at other things. God would bring down judgment, persecution, bondage. They would cry for help. God would send a deliverer. After the deliverer, they would get comfortable and complacent. And the cycle goes over and over inside of the book of Judges. Finally, the people had enough. And instead of looking to God, they asked for a king for themselves. Like the rest of the nations, they didn't want God to be their king. They wanted a human representative. And so God gave them a king after their own heart by King Saul. After that, God gave them a king after his own heart in King David. King David had a son by the name of Solomon who reigned for 40 years. But because of Solomon's turning away from the Lord, it started to have consequences. His son Rehoboam made foolish choices, and it divided the kingdom into two. You had the northern kingdom of Samaria and the southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel immediately jumped away from God. They had 14 kings. All 14 of them were evil. And we have Hosea, who is the prophet in the twilight time of Israel. Israel is about to be conquered by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. Here is Hosea sent by God to give one last warning. It is Hosea's job to be a prophet to a people who are about ready to be conquered, destroyed, a people that have gone too far. And yet, God has left them a door of hope, showing his great love. So when we come to the book of Hosea, we could see that we're exposing God's great heart by using the prophet Hosea. The first three chapters of Hosea concentrates on Hosea and his family. The rest of the 14 chapters are going to concentrate specifically on Israel. But God sets this up in the first three chapters by using this prophet to show God's great love. With this in mind, let's be introduced to Hosea and his family. Let's imagine, if you don't mind, with our divine imaginations, that we're going to go make a visit. We're going to go make a church visit, and we're going to go together, and we're going to knock on the door, and the family's going to welcome us in, and there, we're going to be introduced to the family. Get to introduce each people inside of the book of Hosea, these three people, Hosea, his wife, and his three children. Let's first of all be introduced to Hosea, the prophet. Notice, if you don't mind, as we begin in verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Berai, at the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now we have this word that we really don't like to use. This word at all that explains and describes this sexual sins that have just permeated. In fact, Three times in this one verse is the word whoredom used. 14 times within the book of Hosea is this word used, placing an emphasis on this collection of sins that his wife is going to be taken up on. Now, commentators kind of debate on what God was telling him, whether God was saying, listen, you go take this wife, but before you get married, I'm letting you know she's going to end up cheating on you repeatedly and run away and go into this lifestyle. Or some commentators want to say that God sent Hosea to go find a lady already of this lifestyle and bring him to himself. However it is, what is found is that God had warned him that his wife would step out on him. Not just step out on him, fully engage in this lifestyle, this horrible lifestyle. You're like, well, this book doesn't sound very encouraging at all. This is not the type of book that we would expect to find in the Bible, talking about whoredoms and a family that's already engaged in here. But remember, the whole point of this book is to show God's great love. There's a great book by Graham Scroggie that's God's unfolding drama of redemption. And what we find in the book of Hosea is a clear picture of God's unfolding drama of redemption. You see, Hosea is going to be the picture of God. And the one thing that no matter how much Hosea's wife hurt him, violated their vows, stepped purposely, willfully into that line of sin, Hosea never stopped loving her. Now, praise the Lord for that picture. Because may I remind you that God loved us as many times as we failed him and we've stepped out and we've committed spiritual adultery repeatedly over and over and over. God still loved us. And as we look at the bigger picture of Israel, 14 kings who were evil and turned the people's heart away from God. This people as a whole that did not want to have God in their image. God says, I still love you. And even though there's some bad roads ahead, I'm still putting a door of hope that you could walk through it. There's still a door of hope because of God's great love, his everlasting love. So when we come to the book of Hosea, it is a deeper book, but it is such a wonderful picture, especially when we get to chapter 3. It is the clearest picture of God's redeeming love, to love the unlovely. By the way, that type of love is a love that doesn't give up on people. It's a type of love that is willing to forgive people and not hold the grudges that hold so many people back. It's the type of love that just doesn't cut people loose. It's a redeeming love. And that's what we find as we meet the preacher. We shake his hand and see him, that clearly he loves his wife and clearly he loves his family. As we're brought into the house and we're introduced, we're now brought to the lady of the house. Now, immediately she strikes us as a little bit odd, a little bit different. Because whereas the preacher very much looks like a preacher, looks respectable, looks the way, she does not. She is not wearing appropriate attire. Not for guests, receiving guests from church. Not receiving guests who are believers. Not receiving. We could see her attitude, her spirit, her atmosphere. Everything about her is screaming. She doesn't want this. Screaming that she'd rather be somewhere else. Screaming she wants a different lifestyle. Let's be introduced to Gomer. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 3. So he went and took Gomer of the daughter of Dibalim, which conceived and bare him a son. The name of Gomer means completer. But she does not do a good job completing her husband. This is a woman who engages in the most abominable behavior and the most disgusting activity. She is engaged of whoredoms. She forsakes her husband and her children to be go after other men. And yet, her husband loves her. Again, the picture of God. Hold your finger here. Just turn with me to Jeremiah really quick. Jeremiah 31. Remember that we have the Bible and it shows us more about who God is. And Hosea is used as a real life picture, an illustration of God's great love. Notice with me Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. You understand that God has an everlasting love. That means it's a love that does not stop. And Hosea is going to be this picture of loving someone that's unlovely. And so as we start to get to know the family and we start to understand this is a lady who's engaged in immoral behavior, who's full, wholeheartedly engaged inside of a lifestyle that we ourselves would be disgusted at. This is a type of lady that we wouldn't want to sit next to. Imagine they invite us for supper and this is not the lady you want to sit right next to. This is not a lady that you would want to be in church with you. This is not the lady that you would like to take in social outing. This is a type of lady because of her behavior, because of the way that she lives. You wouldn't want any type of association with her. And yet Hosea loved her. He loved the unlovely. He loved the one that broke his heart. May I remind us that we're all wicked and abominable in God's eyes. Amen. That we have all hurt God with an unfathomable hurt. We don't even realize how bad we've broken God's heart. Whether it's something where God clearly says, because I love you, will you please do this? And we're like, I'm not going to. It's not like we're ignoring. We purposely say, I don't want to. God says, but I'm trying to help because I love you. I want to draw you close. Can you read my word? No, I'm not going to read your Bible. But this will, I'm not going to read my Bible. I don't want this. Stop telling me what to do. And we've broken God's heart. Instead of having a heart for the things of God, we've committed spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery? Adultery, clearly defined, is putting your heart and affection to someone or something that it doesn't belong to. And instead of giving the affection and the love that belongs to God, we put it in something else. And we've committed spiritual adultery. We have made ourselves enemies of God. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We've made ourselves enemies. We'll just make it simple. When Gomer stepped out, and she didn't just step out, she left her husband, left her children, and shacked up with some other guy. Didn't she become Hosea's enemy by default? I mean, she's hindering the progress. I mean, he's a preacher. Who wants to listen to a preacher whose wife is engaged in all of that activity? You understand, this is a hard thing for him. Socially, spiritually, with the idea of influence. And yet, we're going to see in chapter 2, he loved her so much that he would actually pay her bills while she's stepping out. You know how much God has taken care of us, even though we violated and hurted him.
Amen.
And he is still supplied for us.
Amen.
And then Hosea says, well, this isn't working. I'm just going to take away all of those things that I gave to her. By the way, God does that too. Chapter 2 is going to be very powerful as we see this progress to this door of hope. But you see a Hosea who would follow, keep track. He wouldn't cut her loose, but he followed her and knew what she was doing. Chapter 2, it even talks about he would knock on the door and some guy would answer. And he says, does Gomer stay here? Yeah, what's of it? I have some supplies. I want to make sure she's taken care of. And the guy would take it and not even tell Gomer who brought it and say, look, we have enough to pay bills now. You know how much God is taking care of us. We see God's great everlasting love towards someone that was unlovely, someone that broke and crushed his heart. And he had an everlasting love. Well, we've met Hosea, the father. We've met Gomer as she looks very uncomfortable in the way that she's dressed. And the way that she's responding and acting is making us uncomfortable. Then we're introduced to the three children. We see the first child, Jezreel. Notice with me in verse 4. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Understand that in the Bible, names are very significant. And in this case, when God is naming people, he has a message for and because of that name to be declared. Jezreel means scattered. And God is telling as a message through Hosea and his family, I'm going to scatter my people Israel. I love them, but I'm going to scatter them. I'm going to spread them out that because of who they are and where they're at, I'm going to scatter them for the purpose of bringing them back to me. I'm going to give them ultimate victory, but I'm going to scatter them. And they were scattered in 722 BC when the Assyrian Empire came. They came and took and deported the people and spread them throughout the Middle East. And they became what is called the Lost Ten Tribes because they're no longer identifiable. But may I remind you, God never lost track of his people. They may not even know who they are now, but God's never lost track of his people. And God has a great love. But he says, here's a message. I'm going to scatter you. And he did. Remember, Hosea is preaching at the last twilight of Israel, of Samaria, before they're destroyed. And he has a message that says God's going to scatter them. We come and meet this young man and we could say, you definitely look like your dad. And shake his hand and he's got a good handshake. And we appreciate this young man. Then we're introduced to the next one, the sister. Verse number 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. We now meet a little girl, Lo-Ruhamah. We're not sure whether Hosea is the father or not. We look at her and say, well, you take after your mom, but I don't necessarily see the resemblance of dad. Maybe you just favor your mother. But God's message in here is that God will no longer have pity or mercy. He will no longer have intimate fellowship with those that he desires to have. Something's got to happen. God says, I want you to be close. I want there. But because you won't, I have to shake and stir things up to get you to the place where you will finally come back to me. And so here we have this little girl that's preaching a message that says, God wants to be close, but he can't because of your sin. And so Israel is going to be destroyed. Remember, this is a message that's reflecting upon the nation of Israel. We now come to the third young man, and as we come in and introduce to him, we could say, this is definitely not Hosea's kid. Doesn't look anything like him. It must be the milkman's because it is definitely not Hosea's kid. And yet Hosea's raising him and taking care of him. We now see in verse number 8, and now when she had weaned Lahoromai, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Imagine this. Here's a little boy whose name means, you're not my people. He's named, God knew, this isn't Hosea's kid. It's evidence that Gomer has already stepped out, already been committing adultery, and has now produced a child that's not Hosea's. Well, praise the Lord, Hosea loved this boy anyways. Amen. And did his best. And we could see here that God is clearly telling Israel, you have chosen not to be my people. You've committed spiritual adultery. You've stepped away from me. You're no longer my people because you stopped being my people. And through this, we see the brokenheartedness of God and his everlasting love. There's a family here that is a portrait, an illustration, a picture for all of Israel and, yea, God's people in the future as well. Of a God with an everlasting God whose heart has been crushed, a heart that has been broken, a heart that has been stomped on. And yet he still loves these people. One thing that we can never get over is God's great love. You know, God's great love is greater than all our sin. That's why Jesus Christ came and died. Why? For God so loved the world. Remember, when he died for the sins of the world, it was not for a people that pleased God. It was for a people that was in rebellion of God and says, we don't want you to serve me. We don't want you to be in charge of us. We don't want to have anything to do with you. And God says, I still love you. And I'm dying for you anyways to pay your sins with a hope, leaving a door of hope open that you would walk through it and become my people again, that you would be restored to me, redeemed to me, brought back to me. We have here a picture of God's great love. You know, in order to understand that God's great love, we have to see the people that he loved. It is easy to love those who are lovely. It is easy to love those that do things for us. It is much harder to love someone that continually breaks your heart, continually violates your trust, continually puts their heart affections on something else, breaking the vows. You know, even as God's people, as Christians, how many times we've broken God's heart. Put our heart and our affections on something that's not, doesn't belong to that. It belongs to God. God still loved us. That doesn't mean that God is going to have everlasting patience with us. But rather, God will do what it takes to stir things up for the purpose of bringing us back to him. It is much easier, by the way, for us to respond to God's great love. The Bible speaks about that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. When you realize how much God loves us after all we have done to him, it should cause a desire for us to change, to turn to him, to go respond to the one who's proven how much he's loved us over and over and over. A God that has supplied for us even when we've turned our back against us, against him. You say, you don't understand how poor. Yeah, you're breathing his air.
Amen.
He's still doing a lot for you, even if you don't see it. We have here, and I hope that you join with us for the rest of this series, because this is a picture of God's great redeeming love to a people who have turned their back against God, and yet he loved them with an everlasting love. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would help us even now to learn more about you, to fall more in love with you. Lord, if we're going to understand this great door of hope, we have to start with how much of a God who loves us and that you've always provided a way of escape. You provided us a door of hope that we can come back and get right with you, that you beg us and desire more than anything for us to get right with you. I'm praying that this Sunday school series would stir us up and have everlasting benefits to bring more people to you, and that they would just repent of their attitudes, the whoredoms, their adultery, our walking away from you, not desiring you, not wanting to hang out with you, our lack of speaking to you in prayer, our lack of Bible reading. And we would realize what a great love you have towards us, and that the goodness of the Lord would lead us to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for a hard book, but a book that shows in the midst of all of this hardness your great love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.